Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're stopping off in New York City at the third UBS Future of Finance Forum. These forums bring together industry leaders, experts and innovators to unpack the challenges and opportunities shaping the future of the financial services industry. The first event in London in September focused on digital identity. The second in Zurich focused on automation and artificial intelligence, particularly in banking and finance. This edition is considering crowd capital raising, hoping to take a big step forward in understanding how this will shape the future of the industry. Amongst the issues up for discussion, consumer dynamics of choosing the crowd over a traditional bank, the robustness or otherwise and economic viability of investments in this space, the debate around risk and regulation, and a look at how institutional and corporate business models will need to change and adapt to reflect current and future market dynamics. We start with Tom Naratil, President UBS Americas and President UBS Wealth Management Americas. He introduced this session and explained a little bit more about the role it was to play and some of its broader ambitions.
We've hosted a number of these events around the globe this year, London, Zurich, Hong Kong, and now obviously here in New York. And we definitely were very interested in these topics, and we've been hosting these events as a reflection of, you know, our commitment, as well as, you know, our view to understanding the evolving ecosystem that's generating new tools, new products, new services in the financial services arena. And the innovation for us is more than just a topic that we study. It's certainly at the heart of the commitment that we have to our clients in terms of bringing them the best thinking and the most cutting-edge set of services to help them achieve their goals. Around the world, at UBS, we have a number of innovation offices of our own, innovation labs in key locations. We've done those on our own. We've also done those with partners that are very similar to some of the participants in this room, and that includes everything from regulators to startup firms as well. The forum that we're participating in today grew out of one of the ideas that we had last year, which was our Future of Finance Challenge, where we hosted competition throughout the world. We started in different regions and then brought it in to a global final in Zurich. And it gave us the chance to learn about, but also to showcase emerging fintech trends and opportunities in the market. And it was, we thought, a great way for us to put into action our views on collaboration, on innovation. And we found in the little side conversations that were occurring at each one of these events, there was a lot of potential. And I think that inspired us to start to think about events like we're doing here today.
Alex Dunev is Managing Director and Head of Specialty Finance for the Americas at UBS Investment Bank. Why is this area, we asked him, of such particular interest to UBS?
If you think about crowd capital raising, I mean, you know, if you think about the crowd and what the crowd represents, it can be everything from hedge funds and institutional investors to what I would say more of the retail or high net worth investor. And one of the strengths, and really one of the key strengths of UBS's platform, is its wealth management system. We manage more assets than any other wealth management system in the world. And what that represents is the largest base of high net worth and ultra high net worth investors that are looking for ways to deploy capital and earn a return on that in non-traditional products. And I think that crowdfunding or crowd equity capital and crowd debt capital is a very logical place to try to invest some of that money.
So we have regulators, academics, startups, everyone talking about crowd capital raising. We asked John Buttrick, managing partner at Union Square Ventures, a VC firm based in New York City, why is it so important to have all these people together?
Yeah, well, here we're talking about crowd capital raising, which I think is a relatively new area of finance that's been around for 7 or 8 years. But in the scheme of things, that's just a drop in the bucket. And so what UBS has tried to do here is assemble people who have come with different perspectives on this area and try and generate a dialogue today based on various topics. You get a regulator's perspective, you get the perspective of some investors like myself, You get the perspective of some academics. You obviously get the perspective of the platforms themselves that are bringing these new financial business models to the world.
We asked Marco Spinelli, Global Product Manager at UBS Investment Bank, how important he thinks this idea of crowd capital raising is going to be in future, perhaps in terms of market share.
I think it depends on how you look at market, right? I think if you're talking about people that didn't have access to investment opportunities, back to the concept of capital looking for investment ideas and ideas seeking capital, there was a space that was completely a white space that was not occupied by anyone, right? And I think they're enabling the empowerment of this new segment. And on that perspective, they're going to have a very large market share. And again, some of the discussion that took place today, especially on the debt side, providing individuals an ability to lend directly versus they're having a deposit in the bank pulling that up, and the bank lending, and that deposit getting a return. I think that that dimension, they are much better positioned than the large banks are to do so. And so I think that new market's going to be, they're going to dominate. Now, as you move up the ladder and in terms of the size of the investment that needs capital, and you also move up the ladder in terms of the sophistication of the investment itself, then I think their role, instead of being from dominating the entire value chain, they might have a market share, but only of slices of the value chain.
There'll be more from Marco later. Tom Naratil turned next to crowd capital raising and some thoughts on this area in particular.
The trends that that we've seen in this area certainly are exciting. They appear to be accelerating. But like any innovation, it presents both opportunities and challenges for both the industry, but also for us as a company. And if you think about crowd capital raising, the introduction of crowd capital raising, new and nimbler forms of financing, can actually help companies like UBS to better solve some of our client needs, to better help our clients, and to act as someone or as a firm that is actually connecting them to a broader suite of solutions overall. At the same time, you could start to think about the rise of new platforms as something that threatens to disintermediate you from your traditional role as a bank. And that could shift the competitive landscape in some pretty interesting ways. I also think that one of the things that we have to be thoughtful about, and I'm sure some of my colleagues from the regulatory side will have some opinions on this, there are uncertainties around new market participants and, you know, what happens when we test them through the cycle of, or through the full credit cycle, or through the full market cycle or the full economic cycle. How do they perform? If you look at the financial crisis as an example, they might have done better than some of us did. But at the same time, you know, what does that mean in today's world where we've changed some of the capital standards? So I think there are certainly a number of unanswered questions, and I certainly believe that there's a thirst for a little bit of clarity on where we may be going.
Tom Naratil. Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll meet some more of the delegates, guests, and speakers at the Future of Finance Forum and unpack some of the day's key talking points. Now, how wide a scope could all of the developments that we've been hearing about so far have? Could it transform, for example, the not-for-profit sector? Here's Marco Spinelli again.
It's a space that is ripe for a revolution, right? Especially on the fundraising side of it. There are a lot of people that would like to have access to doing social good that today do not even have the ability to reach out to those things. And I think non-for-profit is probably like the subsector within all of the ones that we talked about, from equity raising to debt raising to even more sophisticated investment instruments, that is truly cross-border, right? There is a mechanism that has checks and balances for an investor to donate funds to a U.S.-based entity that will have social benefit in Bangladesh, right, or in very remote locations of the country, of the planet. I think this will basically empower a much broader group of individuals to both be able to donate, but also to be able to have cheap, low-cost visibility in terms of the outcome of their donation. Just to give an example, I happen to have contributed a while ago to this place called Cherry Water that build wells throughout Africa. And one of the pitching things is they say not only 100% of your money will go to opening water well, but we will show you real time the development of the construction of the well. When the well is ready, there will be a picture that will be taken with the GPS location and a thank you note from the villagers saying this was a... So beforehand, I would have been more skeptical, not knowing exactly the impact. And this can only be done now because of technology.
And what about the many regional differences? Is there a big variation if we compare, say, places like the UK, where things are a little clearer and more advanced, with the likes of Germany, where it's far harder to make progress in this space? We asked Alex Dunov that question.
The biggest thing that I think that the FCA has done well is they've actually made rules. There's clear, defined rules that people need to operate under. The U.S., I think, is coming along, but there's still a lot of ambiguity as to what the actual rules are. And just because the regulators haven't commented on something doesn't mean that in the end that's going to be allowed to continue. I think other markets, whether it be Germany or whether it be China, where there's, you know, it's just, it's more around what are the rules and do rules exist versus someone like the UK and the FCA, which has done a very, very good job of actually just creating the box that people need to operate in.
Before the end of the program, let's pick up again on one of the narratives that kept cropping up in New York City. There's a clear difference between the debt side and the equity side here. On the equity side, it's rather an environment of failure. John D'Agostino is a managing director in the New York office of DMS Governance. He's one of the firm's fund governance practice leaders. John was asked, can the equity side become successful or at least improve its failure rate?
So to me, it's less about looking at failure rates and more about looking at the vast difference between the lending and credit side of this equation and the equity side of this equation, right? The two fundamental ecosystems are different. They're dealing with different parts of the financial market kind of infrastructure. On the equity side of this, the way I describe this to a lot of people I talk to, I mentioned this early on in our panel, is that you can equate at an abstracted level what's going on in equity crowdfunding. And I don't even like the word crowdfunding for equity because it's effectively marketplace investing, right? Because you don't need the wisdom of a crowd to invest equity in a startup. You need the well-placed intentions of market participants that could include venture capital investors, private investors, accredited investors, non-accredited investors. And as a marketplace, effectively, what that is doing is democratizing information across participants that didn't have it before, right? So the information advantage for the venture capital and private equity side of this equation is going to slowly start to become less of an advantage because effectively what that was a controlled ecosystem of being able to source deals, have the network to bring deals into your funnel and pipeline, being able to fund them, get the capital to actually put equity into them and so forth, whereas now that capital is going to come in sort of freely from the platform side of the business, right? And whether the stats are right or wrong, the rapid pace of adoption on equity side platforms is at an accelerated level being adopted far greater on the by entrepreneurs than the credit side, right? Because credit side, you're typically targeting later stage, more mature, cash flow positive type companies. On the equity side, you're going early stage, pre-round A in many cases, right? Where the uncertainty is the entire part of the equation. And they still need capital, right? They have needs. They have to grow. They want to invest. They want to create products and value propositions. And financing doesn't work for them in many ways, right? Because they don't have the cash flow to be able to sustain that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a healthy evolution of the marketplace infrastructure, you know, that started many ways through credit, but on the equity side is absolutely going to be something that's going to be advancing over the coming years.
Ultimately, will all of this mean that it's a more democratic process? Does John Buttrick agree with that?
That's absolutely part of it. I think that these platforms have opened up investment opportunities that are unavailable through other normal financial channels. So I think it is democratizing. It's making, you know, in the case of small business lenders, a lot of banks in both the United States and the UK have not been lending to small businesses less than $500,000, just not worth their time and their effort. And these platforms have very much filled a niche. And so it's been quite beneficial for that class of borrowers.
And finally, on today's program, how important is all of this going to be for the future of finance? We asked Alex Dunev.
I think it's paramount. I mean, at first, I think it's inevitable that technology is going to innovate and disrupt financial services. It's just a matter of time. I think we're already beginning to see it. So I think it's of the utmost importance that we figure out how to help these platforms from both a sophistication, capital markets, and transparency standpoint. And then I think the next step in that, or you know, the second or third inning of this, really is how do we merge, or how do we bring together traditional financial institutions with the more technology innovative? Because while I think it's inevitable that there's going to be disruption, it's also, I think, inevitable that the large financial institutions are not going away. UBS isn't going away. JP Morgan isn't going away. What we need to do is figure out how to all work together for the benefit of both UBS shareholders as well as the investors and the borrowers on the specific platforms. I think everybody's going to have to adapt. I think, to be clear, I think the platforms are going to have to adapt because they're not going to be able to continue to operate on their own, because I think scale is going to be limited unless they figure out a way to tap into more of the traditional financial institution. And I think from the more traditional financial institution standpoint, it's going to be very, very important for them to continue to innovate, because otherwise they're going to be left behind because someone else is going to do it and they're going to get an edge.
And that's Alex Dunev bringing us to the end of this 118th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Special thanks to Monocle's New York Bureau Chief Ed Stocker for his reporting. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com, or catch up via iTunes, SoundCloud, or your preferred podcast platform. The next episode, focusing on the final UBS Future of Finance Forum, will be taking place in Hong Kong in February, and we'll be there, of course, so keep an eye and an ear out for that one. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.